blessing. Come thou front of every blessing. Amen.
Come thou front of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of glory never ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song and sung by flaming tongues above. Praise his name, I'm fixed upon it. Name of God's redeeming love. Hitherto thy love has blessed me. Thou hast brought me to this place. And I know thy hand will bring me safely home by thy good grace. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, blot me with his promised blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a feather bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
Amen. You may be seated. May I have a couple of ushers, please?
Heavenly Father, I thank you again for bringing us together. This is a wonderful place to gather. We gather in love and joy to uphold each other, to uplift each other, to encourage one another. We thank you for that. We worship you now with a sacrifice of praise, and now we worship you with our substance, our finances. And we thank you that you bless both of those. You bless us abundantly above all we can ask or think, because you're such a wonderful God. You love us beside us. Beside ourselves, even the way we behave, you still love us, and that amazes me, the love you have for us, your never-ending love. And I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
All right. Does that mean I have the ball now? Yay. Well, I say yay. Good evening. God bless you. I pray that his grace and peace is with you this evening. For those sitting in the back, can you hear me okay? I feel like Jeremiah has amped me up. Am I pretty amped up? All right. Well, pray for me, and I will pray for you. As I say, I'm a disciple under construction, and I just want to say thank you for coming out tonight. I know you came out tonight to see Brother Roger off, but thank you for spending a few moments over here and let me talk to you for a bit. God bless you for putting yourselves through that. I really appreciate that. Thank you for the opportunity to move the ball a little bit further downfield. Anytime I get the opportunity to swing the bat, it is appreciated with much study and with much prayer. I go over it, and I study it, and I pray when I go over it, and then I really just let the Lord have it. God does not promise us a world free of danger, but he does promise his help whenever we face it. If you look at the world, it's no secret that we live in dangerous times. And as I was preparing the message for tonight, I always feel like I'm in preparation for a message. Usually I have a couple of different ones that I'm working on over a period of time, and this is one. We live in a time when a person can be attacked from going to a concert. Where hopefully they bring their family together and they just want to have a time of enjoyment. We live in a time when we have to worry about people coming into our schools and attacking our children. Now, we live in a time where we even have to watch the front door of our churches when we're at time of worship. We also live in a time where we see an epidemic spread from one country to another country, all by one single traveler from jumping from one plane to another plane. We live in a time where we see earthquakes and floods and wildfires, and it's all happening too often. We see violence, we see conflicts, and we see wars. And we can really hardly get away from the constant bombardment of such negative news. I know at my house we just quit watching the news. It frightens my children. And they worry if that's going to happen to them. So we just cut it out. I watch it, but I watch it online on my laptop. And anytime the kids come in, I just hit pause and I don't watch it in front of them. But it's coming through us through every media outlet that we have. It screams at us through social media, through our flat screen TVs and through our cell phones, through any social application that we use, be it Facebook or Snapchat. You turn it on, and it's right there. It's posted, and it's live, and it's immediate. And we see the disasters all over the world, from weather disasters, and that it affects so many people that it has no control over. And when I see this going on with the constant news reports, my heart breaks for those people who find themselves in the midst of violence, or they find themselves in the midst of a weather disaster that they could not stop and they could not prevent. We've seen this here locally ourselves. But unfortunately, we know that the world is even going to a darker place. If you read your Bibles, we can really see kind of what's in the forefront. As we look here tonight, we're going to be looking at Psalms 91. And God's protection in the midst of danger. In my Bible, it's page 990, Psalms 91. And I'm going to read the whole Psalms. Way back when, there's a guy called John Wycliffe. And he used to just read the Bible. And I thought, you know, that is a fascinating thing. No commentary. He would just open it up. And he started off in college doing it, and the college kids would just kind of flock in there, and they would just listen to him reading. And then he started doing it at churches, and people would just come in and just sit and read as he would read and just listen to the Word of God being spoken and being read. So tonight I wanted to read for you Psalms 91. It's 16 verses. If you would like to stand for the reading of God's word, please stand if you can. Has everybody found Psalms 91? All right. I'm going to start in verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, to them no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. Then he will lift up their hands, and so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. If you'll join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement of this psalm, Psalms 91. Father, we pray that it would encourage us, that it would strengthen us, that we know that whatever battle we face, whatever struggle we have, wherever you have sent us, Lord, that you are with us. You cover us. You are our shield. You are our rampart. But Lord, it's if we dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. I pray all who are here tonight, Father, dwell in that shadow, in that secret place with you. We thank you for this time. I thank you for using me, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would forgive me where I fail you. Forgive me when I say things and do things that are not pleasing to you. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen the word here tonight. I pray for all those who are here this evening who would hear it, that they would graft it to their lives to know that you are always with them. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. There's been surveys over that, and that is considered one of the most favorite psalms of Christians. And I think as many years as I've been a Christian, that's really been kind of one of my favorite psalms. Psalms to me is like when I discovered in the Bible, I felt like I really unearthed a gem in that psalm. And I have clung to it ever since. There's been parts of that psalm that as I've lived through my life, I've held on to this one and I've held on to that one. And oftentimes when I pray for somebody, I pray verse 11, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. That's everything. I feel like it's from the time you rise to the time you go to sleep and while you're asleep that he is with you. They said it's found to be one of the favorite 50th passage of many Christians. I see some of you shaking your head out there, so I think that maybe you have run across this Psalms here before. For some, though, I know for some of the younger people, sometimes they discover new passages in the Bible, new scripture in the Bible as we study and we read through those. And maybe for someone here tonight, that is you. Maybe that's the first time you've ever read all the way through Psalms 91. For some of you, it may be like an old pair of shoes. You haven't put them on in a while. But they feel good when you slip them back on and you kind of walk through the house like a pair of house shoes. As I was studying for this, I read different commentaries and stories that kind of fall in line with the message. And one young missionary said that her family would have literally lost their minds had it not been for the help and strength that was found in Psalms 191. This is a psalm known and quoted, however, by Satan when he tempted Christ in Matthew 4. And sometimes it's a shame that the devil, who hates God and all that is good, knows the Bible, while many who say they love God do not. So I say, let's look at this psalm tonight, and let's see the message that God has in it for this hour. Now, I know that y'all are in a hurry to get to some punch and some cake. I know Pastor Steve said, amp up your insulin. Sometime, though, when I amp it up too soon, I get the opposite effect, and I just lay out. So if that happens, I'm going to recruit somebody just to pick up my notes and move me off to the side and just put some cake in my mouth. And hopefully I'll wake up before it's all over with. You know, Psalms 91 is a poem, and it imparts a confidence and safety provided by God to the reader. Notice that the psalm and its promises, though, are only really for a select few. If you listen to some of the words in there, as many passages and verses in the Bible, you cannot claim promises unless you meet the requirements. That's kind of interesting, I think. There are conditional and non-conditional promises found in God's Word. Most promises that begin with the word if, are conditional. God promises to do something if we do something. He'll do something if we do something. And there are some passages that are limited to people who live a certain way. If you look at Romans chapter 8 is one such passage. And according to Romans 8:1, it says this: therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But if you listen to the world and the culture today, they would say there is now no condemnation for those who are man. But there is a condition to that verse: for those who are in Christ Jesus. But you know, we serve a Savior who is unconditional, that anyone can come to, no matter age, no matter background. Jesus is unconditional when you come to Him. He accepts all. He loves all. He died for all. But our text in Psalm 91 is another. If you live according to verse 1, and verse 1 is one of my favorite verses out of all of them, but I love them. For verse 1 says, he that dwelleth, not visit, not professes, not wishes, but dwelleth. Dwelleth means abide. And I thought, when you abide, John 15:4 really kind of explains what that is. Abide, remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. It must. That may be remain in the vine. Sometimes if you feel like it, remain in the vine. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. The King James Version, verse 1, reads this: he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I really like the way King James says that, secret place, the secret place. Not near the secret place, not toward, but the secret place. You know, many people of the world today, they dwell in the sinful world. Some dwell in a church building. But are you dwelling in that secret place with God? God is a shelter, and God is a refuge, especially when we're afraid, when we're uncertain of the future and the things happening. That secret place is a place of the heart where we can hide when we are in fellowship with God and when we are in the will of God. Now think about that. You ever worked outside in the sun, especially in Texas? I spent quite a few years working outside. And I've realized that I don't tan. I burn. And but when I would find a shady spot, a tree, it was just like, oh, you just step in the shade of that. And this white skin would feel a little relief from the burn. And man, it was a blessing, just that little bit of shade. And I think the fellowship of God, what a shade from the stress of life. What a refuge from the satanic storms that are all around us. And what a fortress from the temptation and troubles of this world. You see, the writers in this faith is in the God Almighty as protector and will carry him through all the dangers and all the fear of life. We are in a personal, secret, abiding communion with God. But I wanted to make that a little more personal. And I want to ask, are you in a personal, secret, abiding communion with God? Many may have answered that question in your head just now. I could look out and I could see either you went like this or some I don't know. It's really hard to say. But are you in that place? If you look, there are several promises in the Psalms. It says he promises. He promises refuge in verses 2 and 4. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He promises protection from fear in verses 5 through 10. You will not fear the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by the day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. As I was going through the psalm, I realized that there have been men greater than me who have written entire books on this one psalm. And I think if you really broke this down, you could probably do just multiple services and multiple messages probably from this one psalm. But I always feel like the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher as you're reading through this psalm. So I pray if you haven't read this one in a while, you'd knock the dust off of it and dig in it yourself. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you through this psalm. He promises strength in verse 7. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. And then he promises to give help from angels in verses 11 through 12. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. You know, in Hebrews 13:2, it says this, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Has this ever happened to you? Do you feel like somewhere in your life at some point or some time that maybe, just maybe, you have entertained angels without knowing it? I know it sounds kind of strange, like I don't know, but I really feel like I have. At one point in my life, I really thought that could have been. It was. Is anybody else? I would see a couple of heads. Yeah. Yeah. One time I was almost in an accident, and I really thought I heard mine yelling at me. I don't know. I fell asleep driving, and I'd set the cruise control for 70 miles an hour, and I was heading down the freeway. And I had a 77 Nova with a 305, and I was going down the interstate, and there was the concrete wall, and I laid over. And I remember when I was going to sleep, I started counting, and I'd close my eyes. One, and I'd open them. Two, and I'd open them. I got all the way up to 32 was the last number I remembered. And so I laid over in the seat, and then I heard this voice that was so familiar, and it said, Marco, wake up. Marco, wake up. And it kept getting louder. Marco, wake up. And then by the end of it, it was just screaming at me, wake up! And so I woke up, and I leaned over, and I was still doing 70 miles an hour, except I wasn't on the road anymore. I was off of the road into the woods. And all I seen was like trees coming over, and I knew I had to be on the right side of the road, so I got back up on the road, and I was scared. I was 16 years old. The side of my Nova looked like you turned it up on its side and you ran a monster truck down it. It was all beat up. The window was open this much. All inside the car were limbs. And I went home. I was was scared. I told my dad, and I went back the next day because I wanted to see, like, where I was at. Like, how did I even do that? You could see my tracks where they pulled up out of the road. Right in front of my track was a concrete culvert almost as wide as probably half this church. Concrete went straight down, come across, went right back up. It was a concrete ravine. And my tracks went right in front of it, up on the road. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. Yeah. I'm telling you, God is with you, and God is good. Notice there are seven I wills in this great psalm. Verse 14, I will deliver him. After some of the experience that I've had, I'm afraid to live without that psalm. I will deliver him. I wouldn't want to live without that verse. I will deliver him. You know, all people have times when they need God's help. Some of us really recognize it. Some of us may have not been there yet. Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2 reads this, but now this is what the Lord says. He created you, Jacob, who formed you, Israel. Do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. John recorded this in John 16:33, where Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you will have peace. And in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Whoa, I love that verse right there. It's like Jesus is telling us ahead of time, in this world, in this realm, we will have difficulty and we will have trouble. But if you abide in me, take heart. I have overcome the world. In verse 14, it says, I will set him on high. The Lord will help him to rise above his problems. In Matthew 11:28, in the King James Version, it says this, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. And I know some of you are saying this verse in your mind. I can see, you're heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen to the words of Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2. Made us alive with Christ, even when we are dead in our trespasses. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. You know, if you've studied that, you know, Paul was in prison when he wrote that. And to write something like that when you've been in prison or incarcerated, and to still have that, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, in verse 15. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. The promise of the privilege of prayer, to be able to take that to the Lord, that's a privilege. I try to encourage the young people as well, says, would you like to pray? And sometimes they're not so sure. And I'm like, let me tell you, in this world, that is such a privilege. Take a hold of it anytime you can. You get to go before the throne of God and petition. It's a blessing. It's a privilege. I think there's a lot of calling today, but sometimes there's very little answering. Probably because we're not in verse 1. Who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who rests in the shadow of the Almighty. I pray tonight that you find yourself in verse 1. John 15:7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. I will be with him in time of trouble. I think about all the troubles right here in this service tonight. A pretty good crowd for Sunday night. if you took all the troubles of everyone tonight that you're thinking about, that you've prayed about, you've talked about, it would probably fill volumes of books. I think as part of my assignment right now, I listen to a lot of prayer requests. I have kids coming asking for prayer and adults asking for prayer, and I think, man, there's a lot going on. There's a lot that a lot of people don't talk to each other about. They talk to a very, maybe select few. And I think God is with you. It would fill volumes. But you see, God had one son without sin, but none without sorrow. John 11:35 says, Jesus wept. The definition of wept: any overpowering emotion by shedding tears. The calm shedding of tears is to weep. Jesus is conscious of our suffering. He's conscious of the suffering hearts that we walk around with. He's conscious of those that are near him and around him. And he weeps. The Bible says in Job 14:1, mortals born of women are a few days and full of trouble. And if you look out there, we're kind of in full of trouble. And I always think, you know, you don't have to look very far to find it. Oftentimes, I don't know about you, but it seems like it finds me. You ever feel like sometimes you're one of those people who can't get away with anything? I don't know about you, but I can't get away with anything. I had a friend of mine one time. I always have trouble for some reason trying to get my truck inspected. I don't know why, but for some reason my truck just, little light's always on. Well, my friend says, well, if you go down to Jensen Drive, he knows a buddy who owns a mechanic shop. He'll fix you up. And I'm like, what does that mean? He says, well, if you pay him $100, he'll give you a little sticker to put on there. No inspection. And I started laughing. I said, bro, I can't do that. He says, why? I've sent a lot of people down there. They pay them $100 and give them the sticker. They're going down there. I said, see, you don't understand. The problem is I'm a, and not that it's a problem, but let me finish. The problem is I'm a Christian. God won't allow me to get away with that. Because I tell you what, I will show up with my $100. I'll stand right in front of that man, and all of a sudden, cops will come out of nowhere. The news station will come out of nowhere. Youth pastor buys illegal, and I'm telling you, it would be me. Going to jail. It will be me. I can't get away with it. So anytime somebody says it, I'm like, nope. No, I'll take the ticket. I'll just try and get it fixed. I can't get away with it. I don't have to look far from trouble. And I think it's kind of times like that that I really, you know, Jesus said that he must go so he can send the counselor. And I tell you, it's that prompting of the Holy Spirit when he prompts you like that. You really need to listen. Sometimes it's something simple like that, like, don't do that. But sometimes it's your salvation. It's your eternal soul. It's the eternity for you. Verse 11 teaches that God at some times sends his angels to help. And sometimes God seems to say, you know what? Move over. I'm going to take it from here. It's comforting to know that God watches. It's comforting to know, I know for me, that God watches over me. It's comforting to know that God watches over us, even in great times of stress and of fear, that he's always there. I will deliver him and honor him. Verse 15. Moses honored God, and God honored him. Moses refused the treasures of Egypt. If you think about the way he kind of grew up, he really had a lot. And God gave him the treasures of heaven instead. Moses gave up family in Egypt, but he gave him a nation to family. Apostle Paul gave up wisdom of the world, but he was used to write the epistles. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30 says this, "Wherefore the Lord of God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and thy house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me for them to honor me, and I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." I looked that up in a couple different versions. I kind of like to bounce them around and stuff. The contemporary English version says this, "I will honor anyone who honors me, but I will put a curse on anyone who hates me." The Holman Christian Standard says this, "I will honor those who honor me, but those who despise me will be disgraced." Do you see that in the news today? You know, it says everything will come to light. Whatever is done in darkness will come to light. I see it in the news today. Every time you turn around, somebody is in the news, and it's being brought to light. Don't go by the sticker. You'll be on the news. I'll tell them, hey, he was there. I preached the message. All I could do was give it to him. I gave him the truth. Don't go by the sticker. With long life, I will satisfy him. You know, it says, I will honor him. And that's one of the states of those conditions that are essential on man's part to secure the fulfillment of God's promise. I will honor him when he honors me. You know, I tell you, satisfaction cannot be bought with money. Only God can satisfy. And he can satisfy with a long life. Deuteronomy 6:2 says this, "So that you, your children, and their children, after them, may fear the Lord your God, as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I have given you, so that you may enjoy long life." That's the Old Testament right there. That's pretty much back at the beginning almost. And it will last forever. It will last forever. If you dwell in the shelter of the Most High, it will last forever in the heavenly place. If you don't dwell in the shelter of the Most High, it will still last forever, but in not the heavenly place. Romans 8:18 says this, "I consider that our present suffering are not worth or compared to the glory that is revealed in us." The New Living Translation puts it this way, "Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later." You know, the other night I was working on this, Grace and Olivia came in and they're like, "When do you think the end is?" I'm like, "I don't know." I got some ideas. I do a lot of reading, but I don't know. And I talked to a lot of young people, and they say, you know, "I hope Jesus doesn't come back because I really want to get married, or I really want to have kids, or I really want to have a job, or I really want, I'm like, you know, I understand all that. If I was probably 15 or 16, I think I would probably feel the same way. And I was telling them, I said, like, can you imagine the most wonderful day, just whatever that would be, the most wonderful day, and then try to multiply that to infinity. And that will be the moment you step into heaven. We have such a narrow grasp of what that could be and what that is. But man, and it's coming. A long life now in heaven. "And I will show him my salvation," in verse 16. Only got one page left. I got 13 minutes. I'm doing really good. All right. Psalms 50:23, "Those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me, and to the blameless I will show my salvation. As the wicked have their parting warning in this world, so the godly have their parting encouragement." And we find that here in Psalms 91. "God is glorified by those who offer praise to him from a sincere heart. And if any man will lay down himself on a straight path and pursue it, God will show him his salvation." My friends, this evening, I ask you, are you dwelling in the secret place of the Most High? those who are in Christ and identify with him, Jesus dwells in that secret place. That secret place of the Most High. Our Lord is patient. And I praise him for that, because I wasn't always dwelling in that secret place. His patience is so great. And it's more wonderful because, unfortunately, some sinners make ill use of his patience. But if they do not turn, they will be made to see the error when it is too late. Now is the time. Tonight is the time. This moment could be your time to dwell in that secret place of the Most High. We must put our eternal security into the hands of our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us thankfully accept the mercy of God. And may we all say, in all that we do, glorify him in word and in deed. And then I'm going to leave you with this last verse. I'm going to close it up and pass the ball back off to Pastor Steve. It comes out of Numbers 6, 24 through 26. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance unto you and give you peace. God bless you. I thank you for your time and for the opportunity to share a word.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Very good. Thank you, Brother Marco. And let's take those words to heart. Amen. A lot of scripture verses. I tried to get every one of them down. The ones I couldn't get, I looked on my wife's notes, and she gets them down. I'm pretty quick, but I ain't as quick as she is, man. She is. Of course, I'm rusty. I'm normally up there, so I'm not taking notes like she's taking notes, but... great, great word, great message tonight, Psalm 91. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet tonight. And we're going to have a word of prayer and thank the Lord for the sweets and the treats and the fellowship. And then you'll be dismissed to next door. Amen. All right. Very good. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. We thank you, Lord, again for your word. Thank you for the message and the messenger tonight, Lord. And as we prayed at the beginning, Lord, we know that... your word does not return void, but accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent. And Lord, we just pray that as it was delivered in grace and love, that we receive it that way. And Lord, your Holy Spirit would just work that word into us. And Lord, we would we would think about it, sleep on it. And Lord, we would live Psalm 91 this coming week. Lord, we would know who we are in Christ. We would know what kind of God we serve and know how he's protecting us and leading us and guiding us, how he's sovereign and how he is helping us, even when we're not wanting to help ourselves. He's right there with us. Lord, as we come to this time of the service in the evening and of the week, Lord, we just pray a special blessing over the fellowship tonight next door. We thank you for the treats, Lord, and the sweets and all that we're going to partake of tonight. We pray you nourish it to our bodies and our bodies to your service. And Lord, may we just celebrate together what it means to be church family and what it means to have long-term and long-tenured relationships with one another. And Lord, just the blessing that that is. And Lord, I pray that we just celebrate our friendship and our love that we have for Brother Roger and Miss Lois. And Lord, may this be a fitting tribute to their membership here. And amen. Lord, how you saved them here, God, and grew them in the Lord here, discipled them and trained them up, Lord. We just thank you for the, process, a new hope that you've had, that you just poured Jesus into their lives right here, Lord. We just thank you for that. And Lord, we know as we send them out, as they transition on to East Texas, Lord, they're going to be taking some of us with them. We're taking a whole lot of Bible. And Lord, they're going to be taking the love of Christ in their hearts. And Lord, we just pray as they say goodbye to us that, Lord, you have a special place, a special church home ready for them as they go, as they seek to get settled and visit around other churches. Lord, we just pray that you you show them the way and help them, lead, guide, and direct them. Lord, may they be, may they end up and join the in just in your perfect will for their lives, Lord. May they both be in agreement, and God, may it just be a good church, Jesus-loving, Bible-preaching, loving church, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for churches like this one. Thank you for churches that are out there like this one. Lord, again, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, be with those that perhaps need to make decisions. Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray before they get out of this parking lot tonight, get off of this property, they would seek out Brother Marco or perhaps myself or Brother Roger or some of these other men or some of these other women, and Lord, we'd be able to just share with them what it means to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, that somebody shared with us, somebody prayed for us, somebody helped us see the light, experience the truth. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said,
amen.
All right, you folks are dismissed to next door. Don't hurt yourself, all right? It's going to be good.